Record. Okay, hi everyone. I'm just welcoming you to our podcast, which is just a discussion between me and a former student of mine. So my name is Emma Gorst, and my former student is Chad Regulin, and he's going to introduce himself, actually. So Chad, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, hey guys, my name is Chad Roglin. I used to be a former student of Emma's back in Seneca when I started in 2015.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it was a while ago. You were the first class I had first semester. It was EAC 150. That's like the beginning English course that everyone has to take.
Yeah, it's the predecessor to Comm 101. It became another course a few years later.
They changed it. Yeah, so that was a prerequisite for everybody. I was taking International Business Administration, and I graduated from the program in 2019 of December. And then now I've got a full time job, and I'm at Ryerson right now doing film studies.
So great. And you're doing film studies. So cool. And you like your job, right?
I like my job. I figured because of this pandemic, you know, you might as well take advantage of like the online learning and everything. So
yeah.
Film has been something that I've been super passionate about. So I figured I'd do the certificate course and hopefully transition to an undergraduate.
That's fantastic.
But yeah, I remember, yeah, you were my first prof first year at Seneca. And then afterwards, I didn't have you because there's the other courses were all, they weren't prerequisites. They were just extra courses you could take. But I remember there was a comic book course that used to be offered back in Seneca.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. And I asked you, do you teach the course? And I think you did once.
I had taught it before. That's right.
But they didn't offer it. And so I asked Seneca, like, what does it take to get this course to be taken? Like, you know, for comic books, like, that's like a dream come true for me, right? Like, you're telling me I can get a credit where I just have to read comics? Like, I already do that on my spare time. I think you needed 7 signatures. We ended up getting 15 signatures. And the course was taught during that semester of summer of 2015.
You have such a good memory. It's summer of 2015, was it? But that's a few years ago.
Yeah.
It was like the next.
Summer of 2016. Because September 2015, I came in. Summer of 2016. Yeah.
2016. Gosh, was it 5 years ago?
Yeah, I remember. We like read a lot of great books. We read Watchmen. We read The Dark Knight Returns. What was Maus? King Comics, which I ended up using for one of my own classes last semester.
Say that again?
Making Comics by Scott McCloud.
Making Comics by Scott McCloud, of course. Of course you would be reading that in your film.
Yeah, that was, so I was really, luckily I had it with me though. So I was just like, I don't have to pay for a textbook.
That's awesome. I love how your memory is like so much better than mine, first of all. But we had such a great time doing those comic book stuff, the comic book and graphic novels course in 2016. Like, there were 2 sections of it. The sections were full. Everyone's really into it. And there was like a really good, I want to say vibe. There was a really good, like, I don't know, it's just fun in the classroom. Everyone
I think a lot of people were surprised though, right? At like, I guess the context that you get from graphic novels, right? Like, it's not just Superman, Batman. There's also serious novels like Maus and stuff that can give you, you know, a feeling when you're reading a book.
Well, we had a mixture because we had students come from Seneca, York as well. Yeah. Because I think what happened that summer is the comic book courses at York were oversubscribed. And so people signed up for this course. And so half of the people were coming from York.
Yeah, that's
right.
And
they were in
the
York program, right?
Yeah.
There's an animation program at York.
Yeah, I think, Seneca York has a great animation program, I'm pretty sure. They always advertise that.
Yeah. So we had some students who were artists and other students who were creative writers and like just a really great mix, you know? And
yeah.
So reminiscing, that was fun. That was
really fun. But I'm glad, like, for one of your courses, you're teaching a comic, Alex and Ada.
So these days, I often teach a science fiction course, and I end up teaching it when there's kind of an overflow. I'm not the main teacher, but they signed me up to teach it. Like, I taught it last summer, 2 sections, And then I taught it in September, two sections. And then I think I taught it in, what is it now? It's spring, summer. I taught it this spring. I taught one section this spring and a big section, like online, maybe 45, 50 students, really big section. And then, so yeah, because it's a science fiction course, which is not my forte, right? So my forte, my background, so, I did a PhD in medieval literature. And then prior to that, I had a Bachelor of Education in computer science and English.
Oh
So
wow, that's
it's weird, right? It's
computer
weird.
science, English, and then medieval literature.
Computer science, medieval literature. In my undergrad, I did a minor in linguistics. So I was really interested in social linguistics. And I thought I would go on and do graduate work in that area and stuff. But yeah, ended up being medieval literature. And then my minor was Renaissance. So I don't really have the greatest familiarity with modern science fiction theory. But I really liked reading science fiction when I was,
That's like two different spectrums, like medieval, and then now we're doing science fiction.
it is a bit different. I suppose the connection for me is number one, popular literature. So I'm really interested in popular literature, how it's structured, how it works, and that's because I am writing, I do creative writing of my own, and so I'm always looking for better ways to tell a story. And I also, when I'm talking to my friends or my family, I love their stories and I love telling stories. So story and the structure of story usually is what I would want to focus on in fiction when I'm learning and teaching about fiction. But in science fiction, there's these themes that shape the literature, and one of them is artificial intelligence and robots and just generally beings other than ourselves, like aliens. And so the novel Alex and Ada kind of connects to those three different themes, I think, of like the theme of robots, the theme of artificial intelligence, aka robots. And then aliens as well. So alien, because aliens are, well, they're from another place and they're another intelligence. And there's a whole set of conventions about them, like
Yeah,
a
like what
couple.
are their customs? How do they survive? What is, and you know, that's like a main thing. And you always have like the trope of like, well, when they meet human life, like what happens now? Do they want to kill us? Like
Yeah, they're coming to get us. They're going to eat us alive.
every movie always starts with like aliens just want to kill us. It's never like let's greet them and see what happens.
Well, have you seen Arrival?
I was just about to mention that. Like that was a great film.
It is. And that is one of the films that I usually teach in my science fiction course.
Yeah, that's
And I don't
Jeremy
know if you
Renner and Amy Adams.
know Amy Adams and
Jeremy Renner.
Jamie Renner. That's
It's
right.
based on the short novel, I believe, right? Short
So it
story.
is. It's based on this short novel. It's not a very long short novel. It's like basically a long short story. It's like two short stories. And I
Story of Your
sometimes,
Life, that's what it's called.
yeah, that's it. The story of your, have you read that?
No, I think I was intrigued to like read it after I'd watched the film. But I never got around to it.
I would read it. I would read it. So it's, we can talk about that later. We can talk about that another time. How about that? But it definitely ties in, like some of these ideas about what we expect from aliens or what we hope we'll get from aliens plays into, I think, what we want or what we expect from robots. It's not the same thing, right? Because aliens don't usually work for us.
Yeah, the
Whereas
whole robot thing is, you know, artificial intelligence. Do we want someone doing everything and beckoning to our call all the time and then us just not doing anything?
And let's just, yeah, let's start with that. Like, let's try talking about that. So you came to the books with this perspective of really being interested in comic books and graphic novels, but you like fantasy and science fiction a lot too. Because I know, for example, like, what's one of your favorite comic books that
One of
you've
my
read?
favorite comic books.
I'm trying to get
Oh, that's hard. Well, Watchmen, you know, is like one of my favorites.
Yeah. But you mentioned there's another one you were trying to get me into.
Oh, Preacher by Garth Ennis.
Yeah. Okay.
That's like the
Okay.
whole
Well,
heaven and hell thing.
that's kind of like Lucifer, right?
Well, I mean, Lucifer is part of DC Comics, right?
Okay, so it's not a, it's a Lucifer spin-off or
I
what?
think no, it's, so it has nothing to do with Lucifer at all. But I mean, I think like a great like example of like fantasy and like comics is Sandman by Neil Gaiman.
Oh yeah, Sandman.
Yeah.
I think I assigned that in my course when I had you guys, or maybe it was the next one. I had another course I was assigned, but it got canceled.
Are they teaching the graphic novel course anymore or no?
So I don't think I haven't been assigned it. Like I asked for it, but I haven't been assigned it
I'm gonna have
recently.
to do another petition now when I get there.
Gotta do another petition. Well, this, you know, I have a
Hopefully, we
lot.
garner enough interest like
I have,
today to get people to be excited for
no, well,
this.
really, so yeah, really what I should be doing in all my comm courses is making sure that all my students sign petitions for the courses that I teach next. Like, that's really what I should be doing, right? Like, okay, so Alex and Ada,
Yeah.
let's so I have some notes here actually from the last conversation.
Yeah, I believe we saved that one line from issue 3 that kind of like sums up how would you want a robot? It's they'll never lie, they'll never cheat, they'll never change. They're completely devoted to you. What else do you want in a partner?
So tell me again, this is issue 3, and it's not, is it volume 1 or volume 2?
This would be volume 1.
Volume 1, issue 3. What else would you want in a partner? They'll never lie, they'll never cheat.
They're completely devoted to you.
Completely devoted to you. And so you said it basically raises the question, like, would you ever want something like that? Like you're like, this is gonna happen. This is realistic. Is this what like is this what you would want? Is do you remember?
Yeah, I remember because I think we were talking about like if you had somebody who did everything for you, no different, morals or anything like that. Is it really that exciting to have somebody like that, or would you want someone that challenges you, right? And we see in the
And
book.
I was like, why would you want anyone like
I
that? And you were like, why not? I don't understand. Like,
just feel like I think it's fun to do everything you want for like the first 5 minutes, and then after that, it's just like, okay, well, I guess I'm gonna have it my way every day.
I mean, I think you know what I think about that. I'm like, if you are with someone who agrees with you about everything and wants to do everything that you say, then how is it like being with another person? You're just like being with yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And we see the tipping point though, I think in that issue where like Alex is just like when he opens up, Ada for the first time and he's talking to her, just even that bit of the conversation, he gets like kind of annoyed when he asks, "What do you want?" And her response is, "Well, it's what do you want instead. It's not what I want."
And he doesn't know what he wants.
Yeah, because I think in the first issue, he's like, we see that like he's very tired of his life. He's very bored in the first couple of panels that we read.
So he really wants someone else who knows what they want because he
Yeah,
himself
because I
doesn't know
think,
what he wants.
yeah, because I don't know. There's like in the beginning, it's like he's tired of his life, and then there's this breakup that we don't even know how bad it was. Right? Remember, I think, what was her name? Claire, was it?
So he was dating someone and then they broke up. It was a bad big breakup, and now he seems to be lonely mainly because of that breakup.
Yeah, and I guess he's like, because we don't even know his age. I say he's like late 20s.
Yeah, I mean, they're all kind of an age. They all look kind of youthful except for the grandma, but
Yeah.
yeah, so late 20s. Yeah, I would say that's right. Yeah.
So I guess yeah, so we don't even know what the cause like was, that he really wants to settle down and now he's, because he's been with somebody for so long that after he breaks up, it's like you lose that sense of, well, now I can't find anybody. So here's a robot.
Yeah, he does seem pretty desperate.
Oh my God. That's where his grandma comes in and gives him the robot. Like, here you go.
So she's interesting because she does seem to think she knows. Well, first of all, she seems to know what she wants.
Yeah.
And she has a robot like that too.
Yeah.
And so she knows what she wants, and then she also seems to think she knows what Alex wants.
Yeah, so I guess because of her, because she is older, she's definitely experienced a lot of things in life. We do know that her husband passed away, and she wasn't kind of in a little bit of a rut after. And then she ended up getting Daniel, which is her robot.
And she likes that.
Yeah, it's the company she likes, right? Just having somebody sit with her at the dinner table and not be alone.
So something that reminds me of is often in our course, we talk about the issue of empathy and whether or not robots can feel empathy and whether or not empathy defines human beings, what it means to feel empathy. And I suppose it came up that the grandmother is kind of showing empathy for Alex by, she's too trying anyway, right? She thinks she's empathizing with him by trying to provide him with the support that she thinks he needs.
I think she looks at him like, he's a young man. There's no point on like being upset for so long. Like, take advantage of your youth and have fun before it becomes too late, right? And for her, we realize in her experience that she's been trapped. She's traveled a lot. She's seen a lot of the world at a young age, and then she settled down afterwards. And I guess she wants, like any grandmother to towards their grandchildren, you always want what's best for them.
Yeah, I'm nodding. I'm like, this is a good point, right? The older you get, you do start to think like your youth was misspent or whatever you did experience, you value a lot and you want to make sure that other young people
Yeah,
do
exactly.
that. So I kind of get that. I'm not a grandmother, but so I'm just looking at our notes too. We talked about the art and I think you said, what do you think of the art?
I wasn't a fan too much of the artwork.
You don't love the art. And to be honest, I don't really love it either. Like, it's kind of
Nothing
boring,
like pops or
right?
stands out, and like the facial expressions are always like there's not much depth in the facial expressions that I'm seeing.
I find it very flat. And I mean, I do talk about how in the beginning of the comic, it's more flat. Like, in the beginning of volume one, issues one and issue two, the art is the faces are very flat. Everything is very staid. It's very stable and boring and the same. Everything is the same. Like if you look at, say, one page where is it the toaster or the coffee maker, and it's just the same
Oh yeah,
five
his little
times
robot.
over. Yeah, it's like the same picture five times over. And I get it, right? I get it. They're trying to convey to us that in Alex's world, everything is the same. It's pretty boring. It's basically like COVID world, right? Like, let's face it. It's like, don't see anyone all day, interact only with robots, don't go out very much. And then like what kind of emotional stimulus is there? There's not a lot. So I get that. And then later in the comic, like maybe I think it's issue four or five, you have Ada being released or turned on. And so, and then she kind of really freaks out. And there's this very, it's much more, I don't want to say animated, but like it's much more live, right? So literally live, like she's plugged in, she becomes alive, and then she kind of screams. And then we have these dark contrasts, like dark and light contrasts, where
We do see
Ada
that.
looks like lighter.
But he's like a really boring character to read in the beginning.
He's a
I
boring
couldn't get over
character.
it.
He's a boring character. I mean, I think that, but I maybe he's there specifically to contrast with Ada, like to show Ada's development.
Yeah, because I felt like as you read it, it's like hot itself at one point, because it seems like, okay, well, he doesn't seem very empathetic. He doesn't seem to enjoy life. Remember, like in the first issue, his friends throw him a birthday party for him, and he leaves his own birthday party because of how like this breakup is still in his mind, and he just leaves. Like, he's a party pooper in that issue.
Yeah, I thought that was a good illustration of how he doesn't really have healthy relationships or friendships.
Yeah, I think
Yeah.
he did though, because like his friends were still there for him. Even when you get later into the issue, his friends, like, it's really surprising at how far his friends go for him.
Well, his friends come, like when he gets Ada and they find out that she's actually a robot, they come and sit on the couch and they talk to him about it, and then they break it down and they ask real questions. And I thought actually that was a good illustration of friendship, like
I thought that
friends.
was really interesting. That was such an interesting dialogue between them, though. Because when they're talking, it's just like you get interest, but then you also get a little bit of jealousy from one of the characters.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I forgot which was that volume two?
No, it's volume one.
Volume one. That would be issue three or four, I believe.
Middle, because she hasn't, he's got her, They're like, oh, Alex, you got a new girlfriend. And then he realizes he has to tell them, like, okay, this is
Yeah.
not really a girlfriend. Doesn't he end up dressing her in?
In his ex-girlfriend's clothes.
Ooh. So weird.
That's already like weird as it gets, but
So weird. So, okay, one of the things that came up when we talked before is you said you for sure think that this is a likelihood this is going to happen, that we're their robots are going to be developed as companions.
yeah, I mean, right now we have like our phone. I have a Google like right next to me, and so that thing is like a robot, and it's like it has emotions when I talk to it sometimes.
There's the artificial intelligence that we talk to, so Alexa, is that it?
Alexa. So yeah, I mean, I was doing a little bit of research, so I know like the concept for this book started in 2013. And to me, like Alexa came out in 2013 and 2014, like Amazon Alexa. And the one thing that
Before that, it was the iPhone one, right? Siri.
Siri.
So Siri was, I think Siri was around then too, wasn't she? Or was
Siri,
Siri
yeah, I think
before?
Siri was like the iPhone 4, which would have been like I think like 2012, I
There's
think.
probably like a right and wrong answer to this question. So I feel like us wondering about it is like,
Yeah, let me see.
going to be
Like,
embarrassing later on when we find out the right answer, basically.
so Siri came out apparently February. Oh no, yeah, it came out to 2010.
Yeah, so I feel like if it came out 2010 and this was published a couple of years later, then maybe it would inspire. But yeah, so anyways, artificial intelligence exists, and there's the other issue that dolls that comfort people are
Oh,
used.
we're talking about Paro.
You were mentioning Paro. I don't know about Paro.
Yeah, so yeah, so Paro was something that I researched and found. It is a robot seal that is, it's not even cheap. It's like 6,000 USD. It's American dollars. 6,000 American dollars, which is about like 8,000 Canadian. It's a therapeutic baby seal that's used to help calm and emit emotional responses to people holding it.
Feel like honestly, I need Paro right now. I feel like a lot of people need power right now. Like, why haven't I heard
Yeah.
more about this?
I
Like,
mean, you got your own little Paro,
is that what she is? I don't think she knows that. She's definitely like, well, she definitely cost me at least $6,000 so far.
cat.
So, I think I was telling you about this in elderly homes for elderly people who have dementia, usually. They have these dolls that get held, right? So the dolls, they pass them around from person to person. They're not exclusive to each person, I think. And the elderly people like to hold these dolls because they're comforting.
Yeah.
And so you can kind of see, like, if you've got dementia and something like that, like just holding the doll comforts you, then maybe, comforting a doll that actually spoke back to you would also be comforting too.
That's kind of like us and our cell phones, though, when you think about it. Like, we panic when our phone's not with us, but even if we're not using our phone, just to have it in our pocket is like a comforting factor.
Well, we're all often comforted by things, that's true, specific things. I guess I'm thinking specifically of things that
Like an
are
object that would
dolls that
comfort
look
us.
like, well, that look like humans, like little
Yeah.
humans. Because if something looks like a human, we feel like we can have a relationship with it, and that is comforting
We went
somehow.
from kids being comforted to having their own little teddy bears to now having like little iPads.
Well, I even teach this article in another course of mine. This is a degree course. ENG 106 for, and it's like the ESC 150, but it's for the degree students. And so anyway, this article is by Lauren Smiley, and it's called Digital Puppy, and it's about these, it's like a digital animated avatar, and they place the avatar, say on an iPad, a tablet, in the room of a person with dementia, an elderly
Okay.
person. And then there's the avatar covers basically a nurse, like a qualified nurse on the other end,
Okay.
probably in another country, like the Philippines.
Yeah.
And then that person is watching the person with dementia to make sure that everything is okay. But they interact as well. So the person with dementia can talk to the screen and be like, you know, how are you doing today, Janie? And Janie can say, oh, I'm doing great. How are you? And then, you know, Bob can be like, oh, I thought we'd go sailing today. And Janie's like, yeah, let's go sailing. And it's a real person. So they can actually have a back and forth real conversation.
Oh
And
my
this is,
God, that's really interesting.
it is, I'll send you the article. It's a really, really interesting thing. But it reminds me of this thing, Alex and Ada, because it's again kind of you're interacting with something that looks like a living being, but isn't quite there. Like
Yeah.
not 100% present physically in the same way that a human being is there.
Yeah.
So, anyways, so that was a different. I know I forgot to mention that the last time we talked, but you mentioned Paro, and that's what that made me think of.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I remember that's like, I don't think it just responds like with facial expressions. I think I remember that's how Paro worked, right?
Well, that is kind of why I have my cat, right? Like,
Yeah.
like company, company.
Weird part about this was the robots, especially like the Tanaka models, need food to like power up.
Which is weird.
I don't know if that was like something that they implemented to make it seem more like human-like, because they were so human-looking that like maybe it's weird to just, well, like move your Tanaka to the side and plug it against the wall, and instead, like, why don't you just make it food and let it eat in front of you?
I don't know. I mean, I wonder why the comic book writer decided to make her eat food. Like, what was
I
the
think
point?
I thought it was more of like a comforting factor. Like, you know, it's if it's so
Well, human.
human-like, why not add the extra step and like it eats food?
Well, I think you
But
mentioned something like if she doesn't eat, she kind of loses energy and she passes out. So he
yeah.
has to make sure that she eats.
Yeah.
So he has to care for her, which is an interesting feature of a relationship, right? Like you have to care for someone and be cared for.
Yeah.
So that illustrates kind of, and that he likes that. He seems to like that aspect of it. So I remember there's
Yeah,
a
I
scene.
think when he unlocks her, like, you know, makes her sentient, I think he gets excited because the next day he like cooks all these foods for her for breakfast.
Yeah, he makes, you know, he's like, what do you want? Right? And he kind of seems to want that aspect of a relationship. And so, in that sense, she
Yeah.
does provide what he needs there,
Yeah.
which is, you know, even though she's not sentient at that point, she's still providing something that he needs.
I feel like both of them are like learning this new world together and learning to be more human together, because you know Alex in the beginning doesn't seem the most empathetic person or the most, you know, outgoing person. But when Ada becomes like free, it's like, well, now they both got to teach each other how to be more human-like.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, I think, well, so Ada's becoming human, and that's the most obvious change. But then he is, as you say, becoming more human through his relationship with her.
Yeah.
I guess I find that really cool because I think there is this theme in therapy these days that you learn through relationships. So you don't just learn by going back
You
and
had
forth.
mentioned that to me. Yeah.
Did I? Okay. So yeah,
Yeah.
you don't like, because it used to be that you had to go back over your past trauma and talk about what happened in your childhood and be compassionate to your inner child.
And then
Now
solve that with the inner relationship,
well,
which I remember.
nowadays there's a feeling that you can in the way that you interact in relationships, you can maybe practice those skills and build something while also like healing yourself somehow.
Yeah,
I'm
which
not
I
sure.
was, yeah, I found that really interesting. But at the same time, I was just like, I feel like you're in a relationship, you're with somebody to like move forward. And like sometimes like the past does come back, but they help you rather than using that person, right?
Yeah, ideally, like the past will pop up and then hopefully you can, you know, deal with it. I'm not a therapist, so the language is a little bit like off, but I've been listening to a lot of therapy podcasts and such recently, so that's why.
I think the closest I got to therapy podcast was like Headspace.
Headspace? Okay. I was listening to, well, specifically I was listening to Hidden Brain. Why Conversations Go Wrong, which is about actually about Deborah Tannen, Have you heard of Deborah Tannen?
No, never heard of her.
She's a linguist. She's a social linguist. And then when I was in my 20s, I read some of her books. They're about how people communicate differently or they have different expectations. Like one of the things she says is that there's this thing called overlapping in conversation where some people start talking before you're finished. And some people think that's a sign, like for some people, that's a sign that they're very close and they know they feel comfortable in the conversation. Like I'm gonna keep talking, like I'm really interested in what you're saying, so I'm just gonna get really excited and talk over you for a little while when you're finishing. And other people see that as interrupting.
Yeah, I feel like majority think of it as interrupting.
Really? But I do that all the time. Like I do that all the time with friends.
Really?
Yes, and then I've actually had people tell me that I interrupt too much. So that's true.
Yeah, because I feel like I do the same thing too. Like I try to like wait, but sometimes like when it's like really engaging, it's like, well, let me ask you a question as to like why, because I'm so invested in what you're telling me, right?
Yeah, you're excited. So you like, and especially if you think they're just coming to an end and you want to pick up, with some kind of energy about what they said. Anyway, so Deborah Tannen, I think she took this idea about overlapping and timing, like conversational timing, and she said some really interesting things about cultural norms, right? So for example, in one of these podcasts, she talks about people from New York versus people from LA and how the people in New York basically never give the people from LA the floor. So the people from LA, all of it is always about to speak and they never quite get there. So, and the thing that she did was she said that it played into relationships, like friendships, family relationships, couples, and that people would have all these expectations and, other people have different expectations. So there to potentially be conflict. So anyways, random digression. So I'm just looking at my notes for Alex and
Well, I
Ada.
guess
What do
you'll
you
never have that problem with like Ada or like a Tanaka robot because they'll literally wait for your sentence to finish.
You could program her to talk just like you, and then it would feel like you're talking to your sister or someone you know. Because there's that thing, right? When you know someone very, very well, you have that rapport, and it feels really comfortable. Like if you've known them 20 years, you're like, no.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, the internet cut out for my armpits. I was going to interrupt, but the internet cut out me, cut me out.
Oh, Zoom. Oh, Zoom.
But
Oh,
sometimes,
Zoom.
yeah, you do know, like, yeah, with my sister, like, I know what she's going to say. So sometimes I just finish her sentence for her.
And it's a very comfortable way to be. And you're right, like you could potentially program a robot person. Like, but wouldn't you want to program them first and then set them free?
Yeah, we talked about this last time, like about like if Tanakas were real, would you give them the freedom to do like give them, artificial intelligence, or would you just be like, no, like you're gonna be a robot forever?
Well, I think I just proved my own point wrong because I was like, oh, of course you have to give them their freedom. Why would you want to interact with them otherwise? And here I am saying, actually, it would be really nice if they communicate just like you. So program them to speak in a particular way and then set them free so they can say what they want.
Do you think, because there's we're introduced to two types of like Tanakas, right? We're
Okay.
introduced to the one that has no like human-like look at all whatsoever. And then we're introduced to the versions like Ada that actually have like the skin, eyes, they look very human.
Yeah.
If they did not look human-like, would you be like, no, it's just gonna be a robot. I'm not gonna give it artificial
Yeah,
intelligence.
I couldn't. I don't think I could interact with a robot
Because
like
I feel
through
like you would
talking.
have, like, if you saw a human version, you'd be like, you'd feel so empathetic to be like, you know what, like, this feels wrong.
Well, if it's a really effective like copy, because we have this issue with things that kind of look like humans but aren't, that they're really freaky. So
Oh,
this there's it's called the effect. I'm trying to think the I'm gonna sound bad on my science fiction course. I can't remember the name of the effect, but it's a specific kind of effect. Like it's a psychological principle. If you see a mask of something, it's potentially really scary. But if you have a really good copy such that it looks exactly like a human, then you can't tell the difference, then I think, yeah, you would naturally feel empathy for it, especially if it's doing human-like things.
Yeah, I guess it's like animals though, right? We treat them like, if you have a pet, you treat them like a member of the family.
Yes, yeah, we kind of assume that they have all of these feelings and wants. Yeah, I think that's and that's really why people have pets, right?
Yeah.
Like,
So is it Tanaka like a pet, or should it be like a human, I guess?
you know, some people don't really relate to pets in that way. Do you have friends who don't? They don't really
Oh,
see
well,
pets.
I thought my sister was, because she used to hate dogs and now she has a dog.
People can change. People can change.
Yeah.
Sure. That's for sure. But I
But yeah, you're right.
definitely
There's some people that don't have empathy towards animals or even people.
Yeah. And so then that raises the question of what it means to be human. Do we think of empathy as a fundamental human characteristic? Because if that's all the robot is lacking, that's not something that.
Yeah, because physically it looks like us, and sure, the components may be different, like maybe has like a metal or aluminum based like skeletal system that's equivalent to our bones. But if the only thing that's missing is, you're right, like just thinking for itself, then I mean technically it can think for itself if it has artificial intelligence,
Yeah,
so why is it not classified as a human?
right. Which seems it seems kind of unfair because humans come into being in all sorts of different ways.
It definitely did question to me what it means to be human, because not every person you meet is exactly the same. Everyone's different, right, with their own personalities and everything, right?
And so a robot, like an android, is different. It's not different in ways that take away from its humanity. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because I remember when Franklin was going to free Ada, he's like, there's two ways this thing can go. Either goes right, where it's gonna form its own personality, or it's gonna go crazy and like go on a murdering rampage.
Which seems kind of an extreme,
Yeah, which would make me not want to turn this thing into human. Because if
it
it goes
seems
on a
like
murdering
that. So
rampage, that blood is on my hand.
it seems a kind of a false dichotomy. Like maybe they set that up just for drama, like in the book.
Maybe, but I feel like if someone told me that, like, if I had a robot and they're like, well, this is 50-50, it either, goes on a murderous rampage, or it becomes like this awesome person that may not even want to hang out with you. Because he even says that too. Like, sometimes when he unlocks these robots, they don't want to even be with the person that they were with.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I remember them saying that. I was like, huh.
So it's like a
Well,
risk within a risk.
but he does it anyway, right? He unlocks her
Yeah,
anyways.
he takes,
And
because I think we could tell he's frustrated with Ada in the beginning, because he wants her to make choices as well. But because it's everything what Alex wants, and Alex doesn't know what he wants himself, it just puts him in a loop, right?
I mean, I suppose the question it raises is like, does he wake up Ada because he wants a companion who can think, or is he actually doing it out of some sense of altruism?
I don't think there's anything about like the whole like freedom and righteousness. I think for him, it's a personal gain for him. I think it's 100%. For me personally, when I read it, I think personally he just wants a challenge, and he wants someone to challenge him when he's thinking. But later on, yeah, I think he really does. But I think it's because he really cares about Ada that he kind of just is like, no, all robots should be kind of have the right to be free.
Later on, but not in the first volume,
Yeah, I
right?
think at the beginning it's just personal gain.
Interesting. Interesting. So it is kind of selfish. Because, you know, when he unlocks her, she could go mad and she could hurt herself, and then it wouldn't really benefit her.
Yeah, it would just be grandma's money down the drain.
Feel like we should end on that Grandma's money down the drain. But there's that quotation we started with. Let's go back to that. You said,
Issue three, they'll
issue
never lie,
three.
they'll never cheat, they'll never change, they're completely devoted to you. What else would you want in a partner?
Right. And I, of course, think that's kind of creepy. But
Yeah.
I think secretly, we must, you know, there is part of us that wants a partner who is devoted, right? The
Yeah.
idea of devotion is definitely like kind of a fundamental one in our society. Like there's a lot of literature both based on this and never lie, never cheat, never change. Never lie, never cheat. You know, I think everyone's like, yeah, of course.
Yeah, we definitely want the first two.
They'll never change.
Yeah. I mean, change is good, if it's not like that heavy on you, right?
I think you're right. Like maybe some people don't really want their partner to change very much,
Well,
like
it's the
often.
comforting factor, right? Because you know them so well that if they start to do little differences, you question yourself to be like, well, do I need to change too now because of this? Or
Yeah, change.
everything in that line is what makes, I think, is a tipping point for him to be like, you know what? Like, I think she needs to have artificial intelligence.
Because she'll be a partner, but
Yeah.
she'll
It's
still
the devoted devotion to him is what basically pushes him to be like, I don't want this.
right. He's a bit of, yeah.
Because if he looks, if because because she looks so human-like, I think you're right. Because it comes to the whole
Oh, Zoom just canceled out there.
robots, the meaning, what, like black robot?
Sorry, wait. The recording just messed up there a little bit.
Oh, no worries.
So, okay, I'll go back and edit it. I'll go back and edit it
No
out.
worries.
Basically, I think you were saying that the
The devotion part. And then,
he wants a partner because she's going to be devoted to him.
yeah, but I think because the devotion line and then her being so human-like, and as you said prior, a robot is Latin for slave, isn't it?
Well, it's the Czech actually. So it comes from this idea we talk about in the course of the robota, and the robota is a kind of an automaton or a drudge that does things for you. So it is essentially a kind of slave. It's not exactly the same as a slave, but yes, it's something that does things for you. It does exactly what does your will.
Yeah, and I think having a human-like figure that does everything you want gets a little like unsettling though, right?
A little bit.
Yeah, I mean it's a little unsettling for me, I think.
lot, like
Like, what would you like, Chad? What can I do for you today? It's just like,
so
oh, okay.
creepy. It's so creepy. It's so creepy. I don't
Like,
know
it
if my
sounds
cat
perfect in paper.
like I'm looking at my cat now and I'm like, if she did everything I wanted, like it would be very boring. It would be
You
very
like the
boring. In fact,
challenge,
like
right? You
I
like
like the
the.
conflict. Like I like the interaction. I like that she has her
Yeah.
own mind. I mean, this is why I like cats as opposed to. It's not that I don't like dogs. Actually, dogs are all right. You know, dogs are very trainable, and it's fun if you can train a dog that can do stuff with you. That's great. Like cats are harder to train, and
Cats
but
are just like, the cats think that like you're their pet.
yeah, and
Like,
that's
I'm
kind of
taking care of Emma today. This is my
cat.
job.
And then I feel special, right? Like.
Your cat's like taking care of you today. It's like, this is why I'm on that chair
Exactly.
right
Like
now.
she's chosen me, and obviously that means something good about me, right? Like whereas dogs, you're like, I don't know, like I just yeah. You're just a loyal kind of animal and it's not special, right? Like it could be anyone, it could be anyone really, but that's not true. That's not true. Dogs are not just like that. And some dogs are very smart. So We want to be wanted just like humans. This is a line that the android says, and you had picked it out. We want to be wanted just like humans. And
Yeah,
this
I
is
believe
kind of
that
later
was
on, right?
Franklin.
That's later on, right? In other volumes.
Yeah, so I think that was volume two, if I believe so. I'm trying to get the issue where he said it. We want to be wanted. Okay, yeah, so that is issue nine. So near the end of
Nine,
volume
sorry.
two.
Want to, yeah. It's an interesting quote though, because it's like it says that they're becoming. So okay, well, something that's something to talk about later, maybe.
Yeah.
Later, I want to talk about the later volumes later.
Yeah.
And then, so why don't we wrap it up now?
For
So,
sure.
thank you.
No, thank you for, thinking of me for this project over here.
It's really fun. It's really fun. I just think it's really valuable for me to hear, first of all, a different opinion. And then of course, with COVID, we don't get the greatest opportunity to have like real discussions.
Yeah.
But also like I really appreciate your perspective, like because you're just really engaged and like you really like you like reading. So that's a kind of that's a big deal, right? When you just liking reading goes a long way. So
Yeah, I really liked analyzing certain things, you know, whether, you know, Jonathan Luna and Sarah Vaughan for this series. You know, it's really interesting what their takes on and certain lines that they'll bold or certain, you know, phrases that they'll bold. Because I think the reason why I caught that we want to be want like humans, and the you know, they'll do everything, they'll never lie, they'll never cheat. Like they bold certain words for you to be like, well, keep this in mind for next time as you're reading it.
yeah, I think that's yeah, it's really good. So okay, thank you again,
Thank
and
you for having me.
let's do this again for the later volumes, and I'm gonna send you
Sounds
that
good.
article by about the digital puppy. That sounds cool.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna stop recording.